Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you straight from my studio. I like to welcome each and every one of you and say Habari Ghani to my new friends and say what's up to my old friends. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to invite you in this evening and ask you to lock your dial in at 646-478-0270. You can call in now. Our chat rooms are now officially open. We don't have a host in that room, but nevertheless, I'd like to invite you into our chat rooms, and if you would like to chat, you can fill your information in, and I can read it from a distance. However, I am also inviting you into the room, and you can come in and call in with your questions or suggestions. As you know, we are on another topic, and our topic is about the benefit of being in a tribe, and what are the benefits of being in a tribe and how does that affect our school system. We're going to be talking a little bit about what we need to observe in our school system and all the transitions that are taking place. And what's the writing on the wall? And what are the signs being dictated to us about how our school system is faring? And this is happening all over the continent, ladies and gentlemen, not just in the urban settings, but in every city where there's an urban setting. We're seeing the dislocations of community, tearing down the fibers, the very fibers of the communal lifestyle, tearing down the consistency of familiarity, making people feel unsure of themselves about the education system to the point where they're now homeschooling. We have a large number of young children that are dropping out, not because they want to, because they're being pushed through the cracks. And we want to know what's going on. And as a teacher, a former teacher, I'm very concerned because we don't have a communal lifestyle anymore. I think I could have accepted it when we had the latchkey children coming home and the neighbors used to watch out for them. At least we know who our neighbors were, and we were living in a community where we could assess who were friendly friends and who were strangers. Now we have so many strangers coming in and out of the community, we can't even approach them to ask them where they live on our block. So it's very important that we get back to grassroots living and get back to it quick, fast, and in a hurry, and talk to our congressmen and talk to our representatives, our aldermen, about how do you do rezoning? How do you make a change in the school system so that children are going to school in the neighborhoods where they live at and not 4 and 10 miles away in other communities which they have no vested interest? Now, you see a lot of parents that are going back, getting their dollars, their taxpayers' dollars, to use in the form of choice funding, and they're placing their children in a private school. Our public schools are dying off slowly. Now, is there a conspiracy to bring in charter schools? Yes, I know. Omi's up on it again tonight. Is there a conspiracy to bring in the charter schools to possibly position us for privatization? And if that is the case, will we be known henceforth and forevermore as a privatized system? And will we not be able to have input in our community as parents? Now, we need to take a look at this, a quick look at this, and make some decisions, because we're forgetting about one of the most important things, and that is our choice vouchers. Now, Polly Williams up in Milwaukee lobbied, and she lobbied some more and got other people to lobby to get choice into effect. She is the godmother of the Choice Act. She has set up more schools than anyone I know in the Choice program, and more states she has established for Choice states. And that is funding as well, ladies and gentlemen, where you can take your tax dollars and apply them at any private school. And during that time, in 1996, there were more independent schools being formed, and that was a time when African-American teachers could branch out and start their own independent schools. Now, I don't know how choice is faring in Milwaukee currently now. I don't know in how they're faring in other states, but it is an option that we ought to take a look at. Now, my other question is this. As we look at the problems that we're having with this communal problem of not being connected, and that's the real bottom line that I'm trying to get you to look at. If we're not communal lifestyle and intentionally, ladies and gentlemen, then we're trying to become an individual and without a vision and a mission. And that's what the problem is now. There is no greater picture. We're not looking at the end before the beginning, and we don't have a greater picture or a greater aspect of a one vision and a one mind. And that's what we're trying to get at, ladies and gentlemen. How do we incorporate that grassroots concept of consciousness back into our community where we develop one unity, one mind, one people, one consciousness? And that's where we're going with this. All this is going to take you back, way back, to looking at what we did when we were in the hood, and we worked on grassroots issues. And we're going to talk about how we can get upfront and personal and uncomfortable with some of you, but it doesn't matter. We want to know. Stay tuned. Thank you so much for going all the way with Omi. You know I am your advocate. I am your advisor, and I am your Maliwa. I am your mother, too. I am here to serve you. Whatever you like, I am here to serve you as Priestess Omi Inca 7. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say I want to thank each and every one of you for following the leader, and I wish that many more of you would follow the leader and come on in and be a part of my show and participate. Now, I'm going to do an assessment in a couple of weeks to see the best time where I could get the most participation as I look at readjusting my time for next month. I know this is a little late for some people, but nevertheless, we still get visitors during this time of the hour. However, there's going to be some great changes going on for the beginning of next year, and I just want to let you in on a little bit of the great changes. And the great changes is that we'll be a little bit more focused on our topics, and we're going to look to be more profitable. I've been doing this now for 3 years, and I have to find a way to become more profitable, whether to gain more hours for the show, to create more slots for other outside people, or to narrow my program down to the point where you can actually see me, and during that 1 hour we could get more done, and I can interact with you in an interacting classroom. That's right. I finally got my website up, ladies and gentlemen, and right after we do our dedication to Ola Dulamare, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how interactive that website is going to be and how you'll be able to go on that website and you can interact with Omi. Stay tuned. We'll be right back at you in a second. Just hold tight and we will get up front and personal with you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're ready and all ready to be purified and ready for our dedication here. We do this ritual in the benefit of our ancestors so we can bring them back into the circle and make the circle of life complete. As you stand erect at position as if you're about ready to receive, I want you to meditate on God's goodness. And remember, women, we know who God is now. Let's turn inwardly and speak to ourselves as we do this libation. We're calling out the things that we are going to do by telling ourselves what we're going to lift ourselves up and do, because we have residency within our being, and God has taken up residency there, and God lives within our being. There is no God out in the atmosphere that we are yearning for or calling for. We are speaking to ourselves. We don't want to be confused anymore, and the confusion we've left behind us, we are now about to enter into a new paradigm shift, ladies and gentlemen. And the cat is out the hat. There are many more radio stations that are teaching the same thing I'm teaching about the Mayan calendar, about women being the Godhead. But I'm going to say good evening to all of you gods today. I'm going to say you are certainly welcome here, God, and continue to lift yourselves up by your bootstrap, because no one else is going to do it. And as we educate and explore and give new information on different topics to the people, they will become more sensitized and they will become more culturally oriented, and we will create a communal society, and our society will be with one mindset, one thought, and one vision. As we all permeate on that one thought today, that freedom is within our reach. Freedom is within our reach. That you have the mindset to think independently, but at the same time, the global concept will be one vision, one mind, one goal. And as we get that in our mind, there would be no reason to imprison anyone. Everyone would have that consciousness that will permeate an understanding that we are standing on the same premises, that we all want the same thing for ourselves. What we want for ourselves, we want for our brothers. And we cannot get to heaven without taking our brothers and sisters with us. This is a communal concept, ladies and gentlemen. I told you that we're coming into a new paradigm shift. I'm transitioning you into that paradigm shift to get you ready for that mind balancing so you'll be able to see as I see. Can you see what I see? You'll be able to feel what I feel. I won't have to convince you or brainwash you or persuade you, because as you transition into that mindset, we'll have one goal and one aim, and there'll be one union, unity, and one people. And as we begin to see with that eightfold mission, like Buddha's taught with the eightfold mission and eightfold path, we all will be able to be under one consciousness. Am I trying to make people brainwash or brainwash someone into seeing what I see? No, it's going to happen by itself. And I know you will soon start seeing and feeling the understanding that you are a God. Gods have the ability to define a thing and to make others accept it as their own. We don't have to persuade nor convince. We have to personally get the information out. That's what we're doing. We're preparing ourselves for a new paradigm shift. Our mindset is changing. We're coming into new dispensation where we're no longer the underdog. We were once the cornerstone that was rejected, but now we are the foundation that the rock will be built up on. Aren't you glad, women, that we are the foundation that the cornerstone will be built upon, no longer rejected? We can take the mutilated Bible and pull out scriptures that will reinforce what we're saying. And we can command God, because in the scriptures it said, command you me to watch over my word. And you can command God to watch over his word, to perfect it, so that his word will not return unto him void. So the words we speak today will not return unto his void. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to preach to you. I don't mean to persuade you in any way. I mean to demonstrate a lifestyle that will be catching enough that you will see in me the Godhead that lives within me, and that you will want to follow. And I will not have to do anything but present signs and wonders, and signs and wonders will follow them who believe. And as I present the signs and wonders, you will desire to know, how can I too become a God on me? How can I call the Godhead forward? Now, I was once told that the Godhead comes forward through the situations that you go through. Through the trying times and pressing against the prick, you push God forward, and God shows up in you whenever there is a trying situation. So how many of you have had trying situations where you wish the bad times would go away? Well, those were the times when God showed up in you. You just didn't realize it, but God was there. He carried you during the whole time. Didn't you see the footprints that he was carrying you through the difficult times? Now, do I advocate difficult times? Am I telling you to embrace difficult times? No, but I'm telling you, during the difficult times, brush yourself off and know that God is present there, and he wants to prevail and come through you. Now, I know you're going to see the God in the eyes of your children. I know you're going to see God in the eyes of your lover, because you should be able to find the Godhead in every one of us, because his essence resides there. And we're going to pour our libation, asking God to show up more often in us so that we can reveal our true nature. And our true nature is not a lower expression or extremity. It is not an emotion, but our true nature is to be like God. And when God defines a thing or names a thing, it is reinforced because he watches over his word or her word to perfect it. As we watch over these words today to perfect them, we ask God to show up today and God to permeate himself through us. We ask God to allow us to have the power and the strength that we need to change our communities back to a more communal community where people can see the love in us. And that's what ultimately has the power. There's only been one force on this earth, and that is the power of love. Let us greet each other in the name of love. Let us begin to permeate this atmosphere and this planet with love. And as we permeate love, we will get more love and more love. And therefore, we can change the planetary atmosphere to a frequency of love. As I begin to pour libation, I hold the cup of water up for libation for Oladulama Ray, and we offer up praise and worshiping to Oladulama Ray, and we say Ashe. I hold up the glass of water for my Father, Spirit, Obatala, and I say Ashe. I pour the glass of water for my mother's thirst, that she will have her thirst quenched. And I say, here's to your health, Yamanja Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to light the candles today because I believe our ancestors need a guiding light. I haven't lit the candles often enough, but I'd like to light them today, if you don't mind. I light the candle for my mother's spirit, Yamanja. May she have guided light. I light the candle for my father's spirit. May he have guided light. And if they're traveling, if the ancestors are traveling through the middle passage, may they have a guiding light. And if they're coming through the lagoon, through the Mayafa, I offer them strength with the cleansing thirst of the water. And if they're coming to areas unbeknowing to me, unbeknowing to you and I ask them to be delivered quickly, to reunite themselves back with us. I call on the spirit of Clara Jenkins, Robert Jenkins, Essie Pope, Tommy P. Harvey, Mary Lou Hawkins, Eugene Lilly, Tom Harvey. I call on Michael Harvey, Michelle Harvey. I call on Tommy P. Harvey. I call on Isa Lilly, Bessie Lilly, Mary Lou Hawkins. I call on Eugene Lilly. I call all these family members into place, asking them to allow me to crawl over their backs. As I stand on their shoulders, give us the vision for the future. Give us a vision for a new millennium as we go into communal living. And we say Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to do a ritual as a routine thing. If you don't call upon God but one time a day, call upon him and wake her up. Shake her and stir up the God that's within you, because it's going to take stirring up the God that's within you. I see I have a large amount of new followers now, primarily men, and I want to thank you, men. Maybe it's something that I'm saying to help encourage you, but I hope you are getting the message that I am calling on women to rise up so that you can stand at our sides and our shoulder. I'm not saying this because I want you 2 feet behind us. I want you in duality, ruling with us as we rule. Because the Africans believed in duality, there is no such thing as a rib being taken from your side where we have to stand 3 steps behind you and that we have to be subsidiary to you. There is no such thing. We are clarifying some misnomers in this classroom, and I'm glad that you men are coming to my rescue to listen. It's a brand new day. I know it's brand new information for you, but thank you for digesting it well. This is not all coming from Omi. I'm just a mouthpiece, as I told you. I'm being obedient to the will of what it is that I'm supposed to bring to the atmosphere. It's nothing but a vibrational force that I'm bringing you. Nothing is new under the sun. This vibrational voice that I'm bringing you is a vibration that vibrates with a frequency that resonates with your ninth ether in your hair. your very kink of your hair will reservoir to what I'm saying, because it's the word of God in me. And you have the word of God in you. There's none in here that doesn't have a Godhead in them. The only difference is yours may be slumber, anesthetized, and asleep. You've got to stir it up, and you've got to wake it up and bring it from up under the emerging water. Now, when you decide to bring your Godhead up from the emerging water, everyone will be able to see the Godhead in you. And what has startled men to come and listen to me is that they hear the God in me. And a man knows that he cannot follow anyone that he cannot respect. Now, if nothing else, if you never like me, that's not a problem. If you never come to see me in this room, that's not a problem either. But you will learn to respect me. That I will command. And when you command a person's respect, that's all you can do, and that's all you can ask of a person. And that's better to respect me than to go way out and pretend to like me. So here's what I'm saying to you. We have a problem in our community. I'm just going to lay it down kind of proper like. Now, Omi can get ghetto intellect from time to time. And at the same time, you might think I'm too properly speaking. But telling you the truth, we are speaking the King's English, like it or not. We must learn to enunciate and to speak. And wherever we at, we must do as the Romans do. So I'm saying to you, we're talking about the ghetto intellect. And talking about what's happening in the ghetto right now needs to be talked about, because everybody keeps turning their head and they're looking at it with a jaundiced death eye, turning away, thinking, oh, it'll get better. It won't get better unless you address it. We have a problem in our schools. I am a former school teacher. I still work in capacities as an adjunct and make recommendations and still have influence over many institutions of school. I am very, very concerned as to the number of charter schools that are coming in our communities, and they are suppressing the public school setting. Pretty soon there'll be no more, and the privatization will take over. And the charter schools have failed as well. I want you to know that. There's no success stories that I've heard of. So I don't know if they was put in the community as a ploy or what. I do know mothers are getting sick and tired, and they're decided, some of them, to have homeschool. There's nothing wrong with that if you have the proper hookup to make sure that your child is registered with an appropriate homeschool. Because if you don't, and you just take your child home, and you have trained the child, you don't have proper curriculum that the child is registered under, and you don't monitor the child's grades, and then at the end of this so-called homeschooling you've done, you have no report card to show for it, no transcript, then that child cannot transition into a higher-level institution. You just can't run that child over and then decide, I'm going to have the child sit for the GED. More than likely, most times that child can't pass the GED examination. It's not as easy as you think it is, parents, but it's very important for you to take the time to properly do this, to make sure you consult some type of learning, to make sure you're doing the right thing before you pull that child out of that school. Now, schools are changing. We no longer have a need for some of the things we're doing in the school. Our children are hungry when they come to school. Number one on the list, they must be fed. You cannot begin to educate a child who is hungry all the time. You have to get ready to bring in a bag of groceries on a daily basis and food that's edible. And I don't mean the shelf-like food that you give that's made of nothing but prefab. I mean food that you can serve them that will actually have nutritional value to a preferably raw and alive food. So for those teachers who are out there going in and out of those classes, watching those children starve to death and trying to get them to learn, it won't work. You must first feed them. Before Jesus spoke to a multitude of the people, he always calmed them down and he fed them. He fed their natural bodies first, then their spiritual bodies secondly. I do the same thing that I would do in a ministry if I was ministering over a flock of people. I realized I couldn't calm down the children until I brought in a sack of food. That's why I was always known before the parents that I would feed these children. So they didn't worry about it. So they brought food to me to make sure I serve the children. You just don't bring food in. You sit down family style and you serve the children so they understand that when we break bread together, we are family. We are communal. And that's where the communal starts at the table, ladies and gentlemen. At the table, you meet your children at the table. I don't care if you have to go to the cafeteria, you ask those matrons and the principal to bring in food so your children and you can meet at the table. Because when you begin to break bread together, a child becomes very affectionate, and he will become personal with you and let you get up front and personal with him when he knows you care enough about him to feed him. Once the child has digested the food and has eaten, now you can talk to the child and you can reason with the child. You must understand that Saturday schools are being pressed forward, and some of the parents are going to have to get together and create an atmosphere for a Saturday school, because the children are going to go through a lot more than what they're going through now. Some children are not able to even get on the bus now because they don't have funds to pay the bus driver to come every day to pick up the children. So we've got multitudes and mounds upon mounds of problems that are now presenting themselves in our urban setting. And we as good citizens have to come together at these board meetings and talk about what it is we can do. And it's going to have to take something like a miracle to turn things around. Because the way things are going is like, as if we're handing the school district over to privatization with private corporations coming in. And if that should happen, we still should be prepared with our Saturday schools. Now, what goes on into Saturday schools? Saturday schools should be highly culturized with culture and with instrumental and creative arts, because arts are being taken out of the school. We must reinvent the arts. Do you know that the artists were protected in the olden days because they could recreate the future? And the poets were protected because they held the pen and the paper for being able to draft and rewrite information. So it's very important that we understand that culturalization is just as important for our children. If they're not getting it in school and they're given inferior education at school and miseducation, then you must duplicate these services on Saturday. And parents, you can hire teachers to come in. You can give them a small percentage as a stipend to come in on Saturday to teach instrumental string instruments or percussions and to teach arts and crafts. Because this will get your children through. If they can read and write and learn the arts and crafts, they can still make it. Do you know that most of the gifted schools were not looking at the academic grades primarily as much as they were in looking at that child's gifts and talents? If most of our schools were arts and crafts and talented school, then we could make it through with developing our children's gifts. Now, why do just the gift the children get to go to these schools and the rest of them are shunted? We've done such a terrible deed with developing our gifted and talented that we have separated those challenged children from gifted and talented. But usually challenged and special needs children are usually together because they both have an exceptional need. Now, parents, I want to say this much to you. Some of you even need to enroll in school. Some of you know you need to go back to school and learn reading. Some of you know you need to even call me and ask me, Omi, how can I learn to read? Can you teach me? Can you show me how I can learn to enunciate words or to break up syllables or to create ability to spell words or whatever? Some of you could even come in here and I can tutor you. And I will even offer you that if you personally call me or email me and let me know you need help. And you want it now because you've got to learn how to read information. There's no reason for anyone at this late date and time with all the information that's plentiful to be illiterate. There's no need. And I'm not talking against you. I'm not speaking harsh against you. I'm saying that there's no reason for someone to have a desire and not be able to have their need met, because education is available today. And one of the reasons I went back to school is to perfect my gift to learn how to teach someone to read and write. All teachers don't know how to teach children and adults to read and write. They know enough to get over themselves. But the proper way of teaching someone else how to do it, we have to be trained again. I spent over a year this last year learning all the things I thought I knew over again so I can learn how to teach someone to read and to understand and comprehend. So don't think it's strange that I'm telling you it's okay to drop me a note and say, Omi, will you help me? Can you get me connected to learning how to do an apprenticeship and learning how to read? That's why this room is open. I'm not just saying, do you care to read for the heck of it? We're going to get back into books again. I don't want to bore everybody out of their wits with editing books and giving a synopsis of books and doing plays and short stories and poetry. I don't want to bore everyone, but I know it's a necessity, and I know we need to have that part of the program as well. But I brought in some more settling topics to talk about, like how do we get our house set in order and our community set in order. But we're going to stay on the literacy and understanding that every Black person should develop a library in their home, and if they're not reading, they should work feverishly to get those people well-read and reading, because that's what it's all about. We have seen our forefathers in slavery die for the sake of learning to read. There's no reason that someone should go without that gift, and I'm offering that gift today, and that gift will be internally offered. So if you do need that, don't hesitate to call the Care to Read room or to email me and drop me a line or two and say, Omi, I want to take you up on that. I will assist you. I give you my word. And I will establish you only up until the point where you refuse to do for yourself. Now, I'm not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. I will get you started and mentor you and show you the way to success. But I cannot carry you, and I will not carry you, because I think grown-ups ought to take the responsibility for themselves as well as children. Why ask someone to do for you what you can do for yourself? It's a mighty poor puppy dog that won't wag its own tail. Now, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we're talking communal lifestyle. We're talking about teaching our children how to have communion around the table. We're teaching them that it's a very important thing to have a sit-down meal, and we have a one mindset. When we begin to have people with crazy thinking, it's because their minds have gone way off into exotic thinking that is not of the mind of a Black African-American. We must help our young people to have a mindset of a consciousness, whereas our mothers used to tell us to do something and we didn't ask why. She would just say, because I told you to. This is how we do it. Now, the song came out, this is how we do it. Now, every time I say something, I want you to say, this is how we do it. Black folks, look out for one another. This is how we do it. Black folks, make sure that we all have an opportunity to gather together and network in a special place. This is how we do it. Black men are always concerned about their babies, and they take care of their babies, and they see to it that they're provided for. This is how we do it. Now, the reason why I'm saying this, ladies and gentlemen, is because we used to have an old saying, whatever we decided to do, we collectively decided to do it together. You didn't find people going off thinking on their own, well, I think I'm going to do this, and I don't need nobody to tell me nothing because I'm grown, and I put this on all I love, and nobody goes. We didn't do that. As a Black people, we knew that one person out of line could destroy the whole concept. That's why we need to get people back in line, because somebody is destroying the whole concept for Black. Now, these African Americans who are athletes who have gone way off course and figured that because they've made an extra dollar, now they can go on the other side of the fence and they don't have to go back to the hood or to make any assessments or contributions. They're out of line, and they need to be called out. We never let our own kind go without chastening and get off track. We always brought that person back. Now, when we let Michael Jackson go way out there and say he didn't know if he was black or white, somebody should have pulled him back in and said, brother, look, you black, okay? Don't get it twisted. Don't go fading your skin and jading yourself. Don't get confused just because money is giving you a good life. That doesn't mean you want to become white. Now, any time we get to the point where we no longer love ourselves and want to become white, it's something in us that has not arrived. And we've got to stay close to our brothers and sisters today because some of them are drifting to the point where they don't like to be black anymore and they don't want to associate with collard greens, fatback, and the soul food. Some of them now think this is the stuff that's killing us, but it's really the stuff that kept us alive. Don't you understand? It's an oxymoron. They'll tell you that kinky hair is bad and straight hair is good. It's an illusion. And you've got to know the truth because mama told you. And what mama tell you, mama ain't going to lie to you. Mama told you this is how we do it. So you have to understand, if it's too far to the right and it don't look right, it probably ain't right. You have to remember, when black folks make a consensus of something and they stand together, wrong or right, they're going to go down together. But if you over there by yourself and you can't seem to make a right decision and you decide to be alone in your opinion, they're going to take you out. Black folks are not going to lay down their life for you when you won't listen. So it's important. A lot of black people are suffering under no account today because they refuse to be black and be a part of a society. And that's what communal is, being a part of a society, a secret society. So what's the benefits of being in a secret society? First, we learn our language. We learn our language so that only we can speak to each other in those times when we need to speak secretly. In a secret society, there are certain things that do not need to be discussed outside of our boardrooms and our meetings. And our secret society is only for certain ears to hear. And even Jesus talked about everyone wouldn't understand the parable. He only gave the parable for those who were supposed to hear. And the problem with the African-Americans now, we don't have the private sessions where we can go into meetings to talk to just ourselves about ourselves. We always got to have a neutral person in the middle of what we're doing. So therefore, we lose our secrecy. We lose our secret society. And Africans all had secret societies because they were all in different tribes. So why did they fight among themselves? Because even amongst themselves, where they were different, there was discourse because all tribes didn't agree on the same thing. That's why you've got to get with the tribe, and you've got to stay with the tribe that you have a commitment of belief in. But we can no longer function like we're an island and like we're a neutral person. That is how people began to get you off to yourself, tell you that you have your own opinion and you can be a neutral person and you don't have to have input, and tell you that there's no need for you to be a part of a group. Don't let somebody lie to you like that. Mother has always told us this is how we do it, baby. This is how we do it. We do this to protect ourselves. When you go outside, make sure you stay with sister. And don't go running off with somebody else. Y'all stay together and come home together. I don't know about you, but in growing up in a family with 18 children, we had to listen very closely to what our elders told us when we went out. Because we were a large clan, and we didn't want to lose not one of us. We were all drilled, and we were told that when you go over to the park, you all go together and you don't separate. And we all nodded our heads. And when you're done eating your lunch, you pack up your basket and you all leave together and come back. Nobody gets in the pool. Is that right? Nobody gets in the pool. And we all shake our heads. Nobody gets in the pool. So when we go there, if someone gets the idea, I'm going to take me a little dip, what we say, nobody gets in the pool. That's right. Nobody gets in the pool. And guess what? If we have to wrestle that one down, they weren't getting in the pool. Because we became their mother and their father, because we were drilled beforehand. So many of us children are going out today, we're not drilled about anything. We don't have a general consensus on how we think, or our philosophy, on what concepts we have made decisions on. We're always caught off guard That's why when someone comes in with a plan that they plan for 6 months, we look as if we're shocked. We got to start having 6 months plans and talking about how we feel about every topic F issue. And we've got to create issues and topics so we know how we feel and shelve them on the shelf so when time comes, we can take them off and say, we've already reviewed this